Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money,
dollar, 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 dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling, cut the chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling, patting pockets. We take the dollar, dollar, can't a damn soul stop it.
Here comes the new kid on the block. Hold on, your bets, here's where the buck stops. See, first of all, I'm stepping out on my own. About time I elevated to claim my own throne.
Success. It's time, right about that time, for Podzilla 1985 Sports on your Podzilla 1985 Network. Cody Sandusky here with you. It is July 9th, 2016. Glad to have you along for the ride. Maybe a little bit earlier than expected vacation for the PZ85 Network earlier last week and going into this week. But, of course, Tanner Thursday hitting the ground running with the unfortunate incidents going on. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I did put on Twitter to a personality in Milwaukee, a guy that I follow and maybe send a few things to occasionally, and he kind of had the same battle with his sports show. Is how do you address these situations? What do you do with these situations? We know that we're a sports-focused thing. That's what we do. This is PZ85 Sports, obviously. This isn't PZ85 World News or PZ85 Morality, but you can't go without saying anything. And here's my quote from Twitter. It was, "I'm in the same place for my shows. Embracing the escapism sounds fun, but being silent is unacceptable." And that was after the Dallas shootings. So we've had Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, the Dallas police officers losing their lives. It's not my place necessarily, or some would say not my place to talk about these things. And I'm not going to go into it because, of course, as it happened, Tanner Thursday, the episode with Jesse, Shannon, and Lindsay went over that. But these things have to change. And athletes are starting to speak up more about it. Carmelo Anthony had a great quote via Instagram, which I know is very odd to say that you had a great quote via a social media service like Instagram. But he presented a discussion that says athletes have to be more willing to do anything that it takes to step up in this light, to have a part of the conversation, to utilize their voice and their platform to make some social changes. And his picture, was a picture that included Muhammad Ali and a few other athletes from the 60s discussing civil rights at that time. And it's something that he said, you know, forget your endorsements. Whatever endorsements you lose, whatever. You are a person on a platform that has an opportunity to say something about the world and what is going on. So say it. Not quite in the same place as Carmelo Anthony, but I never will be. But I have a podcast, I have an outlet, and I have to say, we're better than this, guys. We can't call ourselves an advanced society if we keep doing this. Rest in peace to those who have passed. Let's get this figured out. And that's all I'm going to say for that. Let's transition to the show. Hopefully a bit more upbeat. We'll see how it goes, depending on my guest. You know how it normally goes. We have Dalton Anthony back.
Yo.
Because the retirement doesn't really matter. You're almost to the point where you are Michael Jordan. Not in a good way. I'm not praising you for that. You're not worthy of that inclination. You're okay. Let's take that back. You're Brett Favre. You don't know when to go away.
Oh, and if you hear the door shutting in a few minutes, that's my feeling. He's finally starting to catch up to me and just be like, I'm out.
That's fine. That's fine. Go ahead. You're here for UFC 200 talk, and I can just tell you that other than the card I won't get to see on pay-per-view, I don't really care.
Well, I mean, there's some things we can talk about it. There's some things have happened since the last sports show.
Yeah. A lot of money's been thrown around, and I know I opened the episode a couple weeks ago, was going to open the episode with the opening to Shane McMahon's theme. You know what? There we go. We talked about that. That's going to be my opener this week, which, of course, you will have heard about 4 minutes ago at this point. But, yeah, there's a lot of money thrown around. I'm in the wrong place. I'm on the wrong side of the sports spectrum.
Where there's no money?
Exactly. You're standing minimal money.
Like, there's a fan, and money's hitting it, and you're, like, in two different rooms away.
Yeah.
There's a couple of doors.
You know that giveaway they do in schools, like fundraisers where you put the kid in the wind tunnel and there's money to catch?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm watching that kid. I'm watching all of those kids, and I may catch a stray Washington, or maybe if I'm lucky, a stray Lincoln pop out the door as they walk out. That's me, to watch these guys dance around in money. Gosh dang it, I wasn't going to be sad about that after the opener, and I'm already upset at myself.
You're acting like that old fundraiser person isn't going to catch that stray Washington before you even get a chance to it.
You know what?
Those people are...
No, it's because of me that the people dancing in the wind tunnel get some conversations talked about them. I am that fundraiser. I'm the guy that sits on any form of media, whether it be the internet or a radio show, Saturday Morning Express, 9 to 10 a.m., Saturday mornings on CMO ESPN, 92.9 FM, and 1220 a.m., that talks about these guys. It's because of me that they get attention, partially. They also are really good at their sport, have a lot of attention, get a lot of money, and are very successful. but I play a part in that.
You're that guy that's just like, man, if I won the lottery, that's you.
Yeah, well.
Like, you're not the lottery, and you're not winning the lottery, but you're the guy that's just like, man, if I ever won that lottery.
Yeah, I'm not even that guy. I'm the guy that looks and says, huh, I wish I had the luck to play the lottery. I wish I had the skill by which to scratch the ticket or pick a number. That's
about to say, it's like you go to the gas station and you give them a five ski or however much. I've never played the lottery. There's no luck to it.
Wait, what did you call it?
A five ski? A $5 bill?
Get out.
10 ski?
No, go. Go home.
Give them that old.
No, just shut up. Shut up. Okay, so as we were saying, money has been exchanging hands in the NBA and the NHL to a violent level. And I say violent because it makes me want to be violent that people are getting paid that much more money to do this. Just to spoil you, almost $2 billion, yes, B, as in Bill Gates, billion dollars, given in the first day of free agency a couple Fridays ago. Actually, you know, last Friday, in between the NHL and the NBA. Now, mind you, that disparity is quite large. The NBA is the one that pulled the $1.2 billion. Excuse me, the NHL is the one that pulled the $660 million. So NHL still not getting as much love in terms of the cash cow. NHL's salary cap went up $2 or $3 million. The NBA went up by about $24 million. So obviously there's a bit of money to go around.
Between 32 teams or $24 million per team?
$24 million per team. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Welcome to television contracts, my friend. You get money for people watching your sport.
Huh.
And that's why Timothy Mozgov, which is a name you may not be familiar with, is now the starting center for the Los Angeles Lakers with a contract valued at around $65
million. $65 million. What's his points per game?
Oh, that's cute. Let me break this down for you. He was on the Cleveland Cavaliers this season.
Okay, they went to the finals.
Per minute he played in the finals.
Okay.
He will make $2.5 million.
Per minute?
Per minute. Yeah, do that math.
Do they need, like, a bench player? That's just good, like, because I'll set the bench for 12.5.
Yeah, or you can start for 65. At the rate the Lakers have gone the last few years, I think I could contend.
I couldn't. I'll play the bench.
I'm lying to you, but it makes me feel better about myself and the rant I went on a minute ago.
I'll pay for a headband so I look like I know how to play.
So you're Adam Morrison.
Exactly.
Hey, you know what? That dude's got cold hard cash, living up in Washington, chilling out. I'm jealous of that guy, too.
So $24 million per team.
$24 million per team was the increase. And, of course, excuse me as I go on a homer rant for a second. The Chicago Bulls decided to sign with this wonderful, bountiful cap increase. Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade.
I've missed all this. You're going to have to tell me the big moves.
Wonderful. Let's do this. Let's break this down for most of you that are out there. We'll stick with the Bulls first as I move forward throughout these things. The Bulls signed Dwayne Wade to a two-year, $47 million contract. It's 2016. They signed Rajon Rondo to a two-year contract, I believe, worth about $20 million. Again, it's 2016. I'm dying inside. Through the smile, there's heartache, there's hell, there's collapsing inside of my soul.
So the Bulls have Rose, Wade, and...
Oh, no, no, you missed that. Okay.
No, I don't...
Rose is on the Knicks. Rose was traded to the Knicks. Kevin Durant's on the Warriors. Folks, I wish I could show you a camera in this room right now. If you want to hear or see the beauty of teaching someone that the world that he used to know is no longer the world he knows, this is it. This is my Planet of the Apes and seeing the Statue of Liberty head in the sand right now. This is gorgeous.
So we have, all right, so Durant's with the Warriors now?
Durant signed a two-year deal with the Warriors, the second year being a player option.
Okay, so if they don't win the championship, he can
leave.
He can scoot out.
Or if they win the championship, he can decide to win more.
All right. Fair. All right, so we have Durant to the Warriors, which I think is funny because I think he was the one that used to pitch a fit over the whole Miami Heat thing.
That was a big thing. In 2010, he released the tweet right after LeBron decided to jump to Miami. He said, oh, yeah, let's all combine together to make these big teams instead of winning a championship your own merits. Oh, how 6 years makes you mature as a human being.
You just realize that money. All right, so we have Rose to the Knicks.
He was traded to the Knicks.
He was traded.
Yeah, he was traded to the Knicks by the Bulls for Brook Lopez and a bunch of also-rans.
Okay. Brook Lopez is a solid enough player.
Yeah, here you go. Rose to the Knicks.
Okay.
The Bulls get Brook Lopez, Jose Calderon, and Jerian Grant. Jose Calderon's been traded to the Lakers. Mike Dunleavy's been traded to the Cavaliers to sign Dwayne Wade. So your starting lineup in 2016 for the Chicago Bulls, just as an example, is Rajon Rondo.
Not bad.
Dwayne Wade.
Still not bad.
Jimmy Butler. Maybe Taj Gibson and Brooke Lopez. Oh, it gets better. Your starting lineup for your New York Knicks. Derrick Rose. Carmelo Anthony. Joakim Noah. And two other guys. Oh, man, this is awesome. I did not expect to be this happy to open the show and have, like, 5 seconds of silence, which I'll probably correct after.
I'm sorry. I'm just in shock. So everybody that stirred a fit over the big threes from 6 years ago are now being part of these big fives.
From 6 years ago.
Well, I mean, they can still play.
No, stop it. Stop it. I'm happy for the Derrick Rose trade because it means we're out from underneath Derrick Rose and don't have to worry about re-signing the hometown boy. Little did I know, we would go a week later and re-sign a hometown boy who is as dilapidated and crippled for half the season as Derrick Rose is.
Well, I mean, keep up with the trends.
No, I'm as a Bulls fan, I am saddened. I don't think these 2 years, it's going to be a 2 year experiment, is what I called it on Twitter or Facebook, and that's what I will continue to call it.
It could be good. I mean,
all right, let me help you out. Let me just kind of break down to you where some players have gone.
Okay.
Harrison Barnes is now in Dallas.
All right.
Al Horford is now in Boston. Dwight Howard is back home in Atlanta. Jamal Crawford stayed put in on the Clippers. Matthew Dellavedova is in Milwaukee.
All right.
Luol Deng is a Laker. Tim Duncan may or may not play this season. He took his player option. We don't know if he's going to play or not.
Fair enough.
Jeff Green is on the Magic. Roy Hibbert is in Charlotte now. Al Jefferson is in Indiana now. Brandon Jennings is on the Knicks. I'm having so much fun telling you these things. This is the happiest I've been in a long time. Jeremy Lin is in Brooklyn. Austin Rivers stayed in Los Angeles.
Good job, buddy.
Chandler Parsons signed a max contract to stay or go to Memphis.
Okay.
Mike Conley signed a $153 million deal to stay in Memphis. Largest overall contract in NBA history.
For Mike Conley.
Mike Conley.
He's a good player.
He's a player. He gets some disrespect because he's in the West and he isn't a top five point guard in the West, but he is great for that team. And because of this, he is like the prime example of what the expanded salary cap is doing.
Paying one person way too much when you can get somebody else.
I don't think you can get somebody else, though.
Oh, is everybody taking it this
point? Well, the point guard market didn't look that great as we started anyway.
I mean, Rondo was available. Sorry, Cody. That was a joke. I
apologize for my guttural noises, but I'm not because I'm really sad. Evan Turner's in Portland now, and he got a 6-year deal to go to Portland. Injury-prone Ohio State Buckeye, Evan Turner.
What's up with it in that college?
Hey, man.
You think they're just, like, hitting people in the legs and just
and
saying,
Mike Conley's been relatively healthy.
You want to talk about Greg Oden?
Oh, that's my point. Thank you for explaining the joke, Dalton. Dalton Anthony, explainer of jokes, ruiner of sketches, people. And then Timothy Mozgov to the Lakers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this it's been a fun offseason. Yeah, those are the deals that have happened. Oh, excuse me, Festus Ezeli is now going to Portland since, of course, Golden State doesn't need him anymore. Andrew Bogut is out in Golden State. Yeah, it's been fun. Bismack Biyombo went from Toronto to Orlando. Okay, let me see how far you don't know. Do you realize that the Oklahoma City Thunder traded Serge Ibaka?
That happened a couple of years back, didn't it?
No, that happened 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
I'm thinking of Harden.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the old, yeah. All right, so Ibaka got traded.
To Orlando,
okay.
For Victor Oladipo.
All right.
Domantas Sabonis, the kid from Gonzaga they drafted, the son of Arjunas Sabonis, and a couple other pieces. But primarily Oladipo and Sabonis are the two big pieces for that.
Yeah.
So now it's Serge Ibaka and Evan Fournier in Orlando. DJ Augustin. Excuse me. He signed with Orlando.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, yeah, that's a thing.
I want to make fun of these guys, but like they just signed contracts that are stupid expensive that just became more expensive. I get it. The NBA has made more money through TV, which is good because NBA was always kind of like out of the big three sports. NBA was always the one that was kind of looked weird at. It was usually baseball and football, and then NBA was kind of on the back burner. It's good to see that they're getting money, but man, they are throwing money at these players like it's hotcakes.
Yeah, let's just take a look. Again, Nicolas Batum, the guy from France who played for Charlotte last season.
Yeah.
Or Batum. 5 years, $120 million. Al Horford for Boston, 4 years, $113 million. Hassan Whiteside, 4 years, $98 million to stay in Miami. Chandler Parsons, 4 years, 94.4 to go to Memphis. Harrison Barnes got a 4 year, $94.4 million deal to go to Dallas. Joakim Noah got $72 million for 4 years. Guess who else did? Luol Deng got $72 million over 4 years. So did Bismack Biyombo. Evan Turner, excuse me, is 4 years, $70
million. It's good. It's good they're signing all these good young players to these extended contracts.
Jamal Crawford, 3 years, $42 million. Mind you, Jamal Crawford's been around since like 2003, maybe earlier. Jeremy Lin came back down to earth. He's got 3 years, $38.3 million. Rajon Rondo got 2 years, $28 million, which I should be happy about, but I'm not. I'm really not. Oh, yeah, 2 years, $47 million, of course, for good old Dwayne Wade. I'm sad, guys. I'm really sad.
It's just weird to think that they, in $24 million per year, that they've extended the cap that much.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's just going to make everything a bidding war. Like, it's going to be what everybody hated 6 years ago. It's going to be who can get to the player the fastest and who can get to the top three players in the free agency pool the fastest.
Yep.
Which, I mean, I really didn't like the Miami Heat for. Boston Celtics was a little bit different because they at least traded around to get that to happen. Like, they still did it too, but they at least made some trades to get that going. Like, they gave up some draft picks to get a championship, which I can respect. But it's just one of those things where it makes little to no sense to me that you expand the cap that much and now it's just become a giant bidding war. And now you have these players, which no offense to these players, they can play basketball way better than I can. But these players are getting these lengthy contracts for way too much money than what they're really worth. And it's just going to end up crippling each of those organizations 3 years down the road whenever they're still locked for 2 to 3 years.
Uh-huh. Now, let me kind of explain this for those of you that maybe don't follow a lot of the numbers, which I know is kind of a niche thing. For the 2015-2016 season, the season just ended, the salary cap was $70 million, and the luxury tax limit was $84.74 million. What luxury tax limit is, if you're not familiar, is you can go up to that number, but you pay a penalty to the league that gets dispersed among other teams for going over by a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
For the 2016-2017 season, like the season that this free agency is a part of, the salary cap is $94.14 million. $24.14 million increase, and the luxury tax limit climbed to $113.29 million.
Okay.
Yeah, so almost a $30 million increase in the luxury tax limit because it is a percentage of the salary cap, and then the salary cap is $94.14 million. Now, for the next season, 2016-2017, the projection for it to increase further has been lowered a bit, which is part of the reason teams were continuing to do this. It was projected to hit $1.7 million. So it was going to increase another $10 to $15 million
okay.
next offseason, which is why a lot of these players have signed two-year contracts with player options and why LeBron James, for example, opted out this season. He's not currently signed with the Cavaliers. Part of it's so he can get this money that's expanding, or at least trying to. And the things for like Russell Westbrook becoming a free agent next season, they're thinking, okay, this is going to expand further. But the current projection is now $102 million and the luxury tax line being $122 million. Down $5 million on each side, which, of course, some people are saying, oh, that's going to hurt people like the Warriors who won't be able to afford Kevin Durant next season, things like that. It's going to fluctuate a bit, but think about that. In 2 years, the luxury or the salary cap is going to increase by $32 million for each team. Welcome to professional sports, folks.
Jeez.
Yep.
Now, is the same thing now, I know on a not a larger scale, but is the same thing happening in NHL? I know we brushed upon it briefly.
Not even close. Let me pull up that salary cap for you.
I don't know enough about hockey. I don't know what their contracts look like. All I know is from sport to sport, contracts look different.
The NHL, just for an example, a lot of guys during this offseason, like David Backes, former St. Louis Blues, signed with Boston.
Yeah.
For a 5 year, $6 million per year deal. So $30 million over 5 years.
That breaks my heart. It really does. Because, like, I don't watch a lot of hockey, but I can appreciate what they do because I've tried ice skating. And the fact that, and I mean, don't get me wrong, not a lot of tears going to back is $6 million a year is.
That's still $6 million a year.
That's still $6 million a year. But Joakim Noah is making more than that. I'm willing to say Backes is a better athlete.
He's 32 years old. He may be a little bit the same situation. He's a hard nosed guy, but he hasn't been injured nearly as often as Joakim Noah. He's a heart and soul, kind of aggressive, forechecking kind of guy who still produces. So take kind of that mentality, maybe a little less abrasive of like, I hate Cleveland kind of thing, Cleveland's a terrible pothole. Take that edge off a little bit, and you have an aggressive David Backus. So hard-nosed player, but yeah, $6 million. Mind you, like for example, this coming season, I believe the salary cap for, and now mind you, for the NHL, the salary cap is hard. Which means
there's no luxury cap.
Yeah, there's no luxury tax, no limit.
Yeah.
You hit that number, that's it. So say, for example, kind of just give you these last few years. After the lockout in 2012, 2013, it was you were allowed to prorated spend up to $70.2 million, but the cap was actually $60. 13-14, it was $64.3 million. 14-15, it was $69 million. This season, it was $71.4 million. And then this coming season, it was $73 million. So $1.5 million was the increase of the NHL cap. And you have to have a floor. That may be the only difference. You have to spend a certain amount at least on your team, which for this coming season is $54 million. So you have between $54 million and $73 million to sign your team.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not expanding nearly as much.
Well, no. I didn't know if it was like the player signings were going to start going through the roof. Like, but it looks like it's not because it's only a $13 million increase compared to a... Well, not a $13 million increase.
Over the course of a few years, it has been kind of close. But yeah, it's only a $1.5 million increase.
From year to year,
yeah.
Okay. Man, that... When you say a lot of money's been thrown around, you mean the NBA is throwing a lot of money
around? Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I said that number. The NBA, $1.2 billion, in one day. Those were day one figures. Like, Friday, July 1st hit. That was day one numbers. $1.2 billion for the NBA. $660 million for the NHL. So, literally half.
I feel like these NBA players were hearing the Mario coin, like, bling, whenever that day opened.
Yeah, the Chicago Bulls heard way too much of it, believe me. Yeah, kind of give you some of the bigger contracts in the NHL. Actually, here, league leaders and stuff. Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews for the Chicago Blackhawks both make $10.5 million per year. Like, their current deal, like, for, for Jonathan Toews, he signed it a few years ago, actually, last offseason. 8-year contract, $84 million. And it's front-loaded. So by the time his contract expires in 2022, he's only making $6.9 million. And that's one of the biggest deals in the league.
Whew.
Now, mind you, the NHL has seen some ridiculous contracts in the past. Ilya Kovalchuk signed like a 16-year, $100 million deal with the Devils.
Yeah, I've seen that stuff
left
before.
After like 5 years to go back to the KHL because New Jersey sucked. And
oh, you mean he didn't stay a 16-year contract?
No. That's, yeah.
Man, people in there more like you really need to honor that 16-year contract.
You say that. It sounds ridiculous. Yeah, he was traded this week. Shea Weber, who's a defenseman for the Nashville Predators, signed in the 2012-2013 offseason a 14-year, $110 million contract.
Why would you sign somebody to that?
Because it's heavily front-loaded. Like this coming season, now it's still ridiculous. This guy's 30 years old, was just traded straight up for PK Subban, a younger, personally better player under a team-friendlier contract to Nashville. Weird day. We can go into that at some point. I'm a bigger NHL fan. It's been 2 weeks. You'll have heard about it. 14 years for these first few seasons, from 2012-2013 to 2015-16, this past season, he made $14 million each year. This coming season, next season, he makes $12 million. 2018-19 through 21-22, he makes $6 million. $3 million in 2022-23, and then $1 million for his last 3 years. So heavily front.
Well, yeah, and I get that's why you sign a contract like that. It just seems silly.
Oh,
like,
it's dumb. It's wildly ridiculous.
Because I think it's like 7 years for most major sports. It's like a 7-year contract is the most you can get out of a player.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, if I was a team, I would be signing 2- and 3-year like contracts with players just because player, like, production and all that, it fluctuates so much, it's not even worth it. I'll pay more if they do really good, but I'm not trying to sign somebody to a 7-year contract.
Yeah.
Because that's 23 to 30. Like, the best players get so bad towards the end of that, it's not even worth signing. It's 3 to 5 is the sweet spot of contracts that I would be comfortable signing people to.
To show you an example of that trade from Montreal to Nashville, Montreal has PK Subban up until his age 32 season, I believe, under contract. The Montreal Canadiens have Shea Weber from his age 31 to age 40 seasons.
Okay, have fun with that.
Hockey's weird. I know you're not a big fan, and I know I'm a pretty big fan of hockey, and I know some of our listeners, it depends on where you think that is. But, yeah, the NHL has some weird trades. A couple straight-up trades. The biggest free agent in NHL, you know, last 20 years signed with his original team before free agency even started. So the biggest sweepstakes in the last 20 years in NHL history didn't even happen. It's been an interesting couple weeks in hockey.
Okay. That's going to be your goal this year. You're going to get me into hockey.
Okay, I'll work on that.
All right, cool.
I'll work on that. I'll only bring you on, like, when the season starts, and then never until the season ends.
All right, cool. And just be like, how much have you watched? And I'll be like, everything.
Yeah, there you go.
Just the bug got eyes.
You will have consumed.
All right.
It's fun. Yes. Thank you for sticking around for PZ85 Sports. We're 25 minutes in, and we've been talking about money for the last 25 minutes. I'm sorry. I really enjoy it. And just seeing Dalton's reaction, again, if there is any time I wanted to have video recordings in the studio, this was it. To see your freak out of how much money these mediocre players were getting. Now you understand why I said I was on the wrong side of the glass?
Yeah. If you ever get on the right side, can we become better friends?
Maybe. Thanks for climbing the coattails.
Like, not even a mil, just like a grand. A good grand would change my day.
I'd hope so. That's maybe one of my favorite Watsky lines. Watsky's a rapper. Check him out on YouTube. Love his stuff. He took the beat from N-Words in Paris and made it Ninjas in Paris, and he borrowed one of those lines. What's 50 grand to a mother blanket like me? Please remind me. And he pauses and says, a lot.
A lot.
That is a lot of money to a normal person. It's like, yeah, you're right. 50 grand is a lot. So, yeah, I would hope $1,000 changes your day.
Yeah, I would be put in a way better mood.
You'd be putting away your student loans a little bit further.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. I know. But for the second part of the show, and the primary reason that we have brought Dalton along for this adventure on PZ85 Sports is, of course, UFC 200 is tonight. As you're listening, July 9th, of course, we will have this posted sometime mid-afternoon on July 9th. So if you're checking this out, this is before UFC 200. And it's happening tonight at the T-Mobile Arena, just opened a couple months ago on the Las Vegas Strip. Oh, by the way, and for those that are listening, and for Dalton, there's an expansion team coming to Las Vegas in the NHL for the 2017-2018 season. We don't know the name yet. We assume it's going to be the Knights or the Black Knights because the primary owner is a West Point graduate. But the T-Mobile Arena will now be home of the Las Vegas hockey team.
Wouldn't that throw off the number of teams in the NHL?
31. It doesn't matter as much.
Okay.
Yeah, as much in that.
I was like, cause I know if the NFL ever went to Vegas, a team would have to go.
Yeah, they would have to move. Yeah, the NHL only has 31 teams. You know, of course, the NBA has 30, and then 32, as well as the NFL, and then baseball has 30.
Okay.
My math's right, I believe.
I'm with you.
Yeah, the NHL has 31 now. But yeah, so T-Mobile Arena is going to have a use in Las Vegas. And that's where this one's going to be. If you're a wrestling fan, you saw that Money in the Bank happened there. That was the first big event to happen at T-Mobile Arena. So now we have UFC 200, of course, in the place where it thrives the best. And the main card's a thing. There are fighters. There are names you know. There's one fight I'm really ecstatic for, and the other's not so much.
Oh, is it the WWE star coming in to...
No. I won't even let you finish the sentence. No, it's not. It's not Brock Lesnar.
Oh, we'll talk about it. We'll get there.
We have to talk about it.
Oh, we will.
All right. Let's go. From the bottom to the top, let's just lift these matches. The first three that I'm going to name here are the preliminary card only on UFC Fight Pass.
All right.
A lightweight match between Jim Miller and Takanori Gomi. Gegard Mousasi versus Thiago Santos in a middleweight match. Diego Sanchez versus Joe Lauzon in a lightweight match. Those are UFC Fight Pass exclusive. I don't know how that works if you order the pay-per-view. Fight Pass has been kind of weird in terms of how I understand it.
Yeah.
The Fox Sports 1 prelim card, which is the one I might actually get to see a little bit of and why I'm glad. Sage Northcutt, who has been dubbed recently the Tim Tebow of MMA. 20 years old, Texas A&M student, 7-1 in his MMA career, 15-0 in his kickboxing career. The kid's going places, we hope. Versus Enrique Marin in a lightweight match. T.J. Dillashaw versus Rafael Assuncao.
Assuncao.
See, pronunciations, that's a part of the reason.
I mean, I could have gotten it wrong, too.
My pronunciations are kind of rough, but that's a bantamweight match between Dillashaw and Assuncao. A catchweight match at 171.25 between Johnny Hendricks and Kelvin Gastelum, and Kat Zagano versus Juliana Pena in a women's bantamweight match. That is the prelim card on Fox Sports 1. That's honestly, that card by itself, You throw on the Demetrius Johnson title match that is now no longer on UFC 201, I'd be all over it.
Yeah.
That would be a main card I would watch. Let's move on to what the main card actually is on this groundbreaking, ticket-selling UFC 200.
Now, for everybody that couldn't catch that sarcasm, Cody is really, really just kind of turding on the main card.
It deserves to be done.
And you're not wrong, but, like, it's not as bad. Like, we've been talking about this for the last day or so, you and I have, since we kind of just said that I would
be on the show. We were doing this, yeah.
And I was just like, I was looking at it, and I was like, I'm interested in this card for the most part. There's not, if there was, like, I don't know, a light heavyweight championship fight, I would be really into this card. But, oh, wait, we got, let's get on the card, yeah.
We'll get there. Before we do that, let's go into what the card was supposed to be.
Okay.
In multiple iterations, you know, minus or, you know, give or take a couple, Jose Aldo versus Frankie Edgar 2 for the interim belt, featherweight belt. At some point, we were supposed to have Diaz versus McGregor 2 on this card.
And which, is, at that point, it wouldn't be a featherweight interim.
No, it would be
yeah,
a
it just would have been a fight.
Or
yeah.
a welterweight, maybe.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm talking about Edgar Aldo.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, that would have just been a regular fight, which, don't get me wrong, like,
it's still Aldo, a fight I'd watch.
Edgar Aldo is going to be an amazing, just, hopefully, slugfest, like, because both those guys can hang. Edgar is tough as nails. Aldo is crazy. That's going to be a fight yeah. that I want to watch.
Miesha Tate versus Nunez for... I'm trying to find the weight division. I'm sorry. This would have been a title fight either way. Bantamweight. Women's Bantamweight belt.
Yeah, that's Rousey's old belt.
Brock Lesnar versus Mark Hunt in a heavyweight match. Daniel Cormier, John Jones 2 for the light heavyweight title unification. And then the aforementioned Diaz... and Conor McGregor fight.
Now, and I wanted to mention this. I don't think the Lesnar fight would have even happened if that McGregor thing...
I am not so sure. I think they've been talking about this long enough that there could have been a chance this happened at 200. If only because Lesnar is the main face that was on UFC 100 that they could bring back for 200.
Bisping. Bisping was on one of those main card fights.
He was. It was Bisping-Henderson.
Yeah.
And two guys I really like. I don't think they would have put Bisping... I don't think they see Bisping as the seller that Lesnar is.
Well, nobody's the
well.
Seller.
No, of course
except
not.
For Rousey and McGregor, and well, used to be Silva, but that went.
And for a little bit, was Jones.
Jones for a long time. Well, not for a long time, because I mean, you start dabbling with substances. That's whenever they start or stop making you as much of a focal point.
Or are you a hit and run while there's cocaine in the car. That or was... your current PED suspension, which we'll get to in a moment.
We keep hinting at it.
Oh yeah. So that was the thing. That was what this card could have been. This main card. A stellar, that would have personally matched UFC 100 in terms of just a great card.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it is from the bottom to the top. Cain Velasquez versus Travis Brown in a heavyweight match. Jose Aldo versus Frankie Edgar in the featherweight
interim belt.
Light heavyweight between champion, and this isn't a championship fight, but Daniel Cormier and Anderson Silva. Much like I said with Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo, it's 2016. Brock Lesnar versus Mark Hunt. It's 2016. Miesha Tate versus Amanda Nunes for the women's bantamweight belt. If there's one benefit that came from all of this problem, all of these issues, it is that now, even for a little bit of time, the main event was going to be Lesnar-Hunt after the Jones drug suspension. It is now Tate and Nunes for the main event, with Lesnar and Hunt being the co-main event. If there is one benefit to this, it is the fact that Miesha Tate is getting the attention, and this fight gets the attention it deserves. And what I think could very well be the fight of the night.
Oh, I mean, for sure. Like,
if you saw the build up to this, the press conference, the way in they had the press conference, they had Tate and Nunez almost had to be separated. White had to get in there. These girls are ready to go.
And I mean, I think they're going to prove a point.
Yes.
Tate, who has been overshadowed by Rousey ever since she got beat for the Strikeforce belt.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's been trying to prove a point. She's been proving it very well in the UFC. She lost that one fight, but everybody was losing those fights to Rousey. So I think she's ready to go in there and just destroy Nunes. That being said, Nunes is a slightly more efficient striker. I'm looking at the numbers right now. I mean slightly better. Like her percentages look better, but I'm going to go with Tate just because that is going to be the face of the women's division going down the road. And I think she's going to keep that up as well.
I think it's going to be as well. So let's kind of look at what has happened recently in the change. Of course, the McGregor-Diaz fight dissolved a couple months ago, and we went over that here on PZ85 Sports, why it happened and what is it problematic, things like that. As we're going into this, Let's see here. Hendrix missed the weigh-in by 0.25 pounds. And so because of that, 20% of his fight purse goes to Kelvin Gastelum. This is the first time, I think, that we've seen so far, I know we talked about a few months ago, the new adapted weigh-in rules. Mm-hmm. And this is because of that. Now, this is a direct quote from, mind you, Wikipedia, but it comes through MMA Junkie for like the reasons behind it. At the weigh-ins, Hendrix missed weight by 0.25 pounds, weighing at 171.25 pounds. He was not given a second attempt to make the weight because of the new early weigh-in procedures set at 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and Hendrix weighing in at the last possible moment. So we've now seen that the cuts, they're being very stern about, this is the new early cutoff time, you get this chance, you do it, and you fail it, there's no second chance for it.
Good.
Yeah, this is something we talked about a few months ago. It's a step in the right direction for the health of fighters, and yes, what has been a history of people cutting weight in wrestling and fighting sports. But I think this is a step in the right direction. It sucks for Hendrix that he missed it by that slim of a margin. But
I mean for his overall well-being. Yeah. You know what that means, Hendrix? Throw your hands a little bit harder and try and get that knock out of the night.
Yeah.
I mean,
pop that $50,000 bonus or $100,000 or whatever they set it at for this event. So there's that. That's what happened with that one. Of course, we've seen some of these fights that were announced many moons ago. The Lauzon-Sanchez fight was supposed to be on UFC 180, which, mind you, was the last time Hunt main evented, which was the Wordham Hunt main event in November of 2014.
It's 2016.
Uh-huh. Although I'll still watch a Sanchez-Lauzon fight. Give it to me.
That's going
to
be anything. That fight could be anything. It could be a slugfest. It could be a technical masterpiece.
It could be all the rounds. It could be the one round.
Because Sanchez and Lauzon are both crazy people.
Yes, they are. All right. Let's go through what has happened to the Cormier fight and how Anderson Silva decided to poke his head out of the ground with the now non-broken shin.
Thanks, Silva. But all right.
No. That's the joke.
I'm going to stop you from making fun of Anderson Silva on this. Yes, he is a little bit past his prime. Yes,
little bit.
He shouldn't probably have taken the fight. Cormier is probably going to do bad things to him. But you have to respect what Silva just did.
Oh, I do.
He took a fight on a week's notice against the number two light heavyweight in the world. Now, don't get me wrong. Last time Anderson Silva was in the light heavyweight ring or like weight fight, he did bad things to Forrest Griffin.
He did.
But that was 2009, 8 in that ballpark? Somewhere
in there.
That's
been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I respect Anderson Silva. So this redeems anything from those Wyman fights that he did wrong. Because he just legitimately manned up. He just said, hey, I'll fight him. I'll dust off the old trunks. Because, I mean, for UFC 200 also, Anderson Silva is a well-known name. And he's not old man River. He's going to go in and give Cormier a run for his money. Now, I don't think he's going to win at all. But Silva can still, I have a feeling he still has a couple good fights in him.
Mind you, looking back at this, I forgot how many of those fights in a row his opponent was tested for positive for illegal substances.
And he was still destroying him.
Yeah, let's look at this. Again, you're right. Last light heavyweight fight was actually in 2009.
Okay, so I was in the ballpark.
Yeah, August 2009 against Forrest Griffin. Knockout of the night, fight of the night. Griffin tested positive for illegal substances. His fight before that was against James Irvin, which he won in the first round. Irvin tested positive for illegal substances. You keep on moving. He defended his middleweight belt against Chael Sonnen. Sonnen tested positive for illegal substances.
And I will give Sonnen credit. He was the only one that almost won his fight by cheating.
Yep. Excuse me. It has been much more recent than I thought. 2012 was a light heavyweight against Stephen Bonner at UFC 153. He extended the record for the most consecutive wins with 16. Bonner tested positive for illegal substances.
Fair.
And then the Weidman fights two in a row, lost the first one in punches in the second round, and then lost by the leg fracture in the second round.
How did you lose? I broke my own leg.
Yeah, and then the no contest, which is what happened against Diaz last January, which Silva had won by unanimous decision, then was overturned after he tested for Andro and Dros Dalalon. So, which was a bad fight. Think about that. Nick Diaz was popped for marijuana. Silva was popped for steroids. It's a good day in the neighborhood for everybody.
Dana White was just broing out to the eighth degree of just like, what? I don't get why these guys don't do steroids. As he puts the, nope, not going to make
nope,
the joke.
Don't do that. No, I didn't.
I'm just saying he looks too buff for a commissioner.
Which, by the way, here's the thing here. Nick Diaz, and kind of to show you just an argument we've had about marijuana substances stuff in the past. Nick Diaz has yet to fight in the UFC since that fight last year.
And he had a 2-year suspension at one point.
He did. I think he still does. Anderson Silva got popped for steroids and is now fighting on the main card, filling in at UFC 200.
That's, yeah, that's no, bad. It's bad. It's super bad, and it shouldn't happen at all. I think the big difference is the kind of personalities. Silva, who is a very reserved human being.
He's the Weidman fights.
But even like with the Sonnen thing, whenever Sonnen said he was going to like go into Silva's backyard, and I think it was made a comment about Silva's wife.
I think so.
And he said he was like, I'm going to go to a barbecue, and I'm going to do this. And then after Silva beat him the second time, legitimately beat him. Well, he legitimately beat him the first time, but he kneed him so hard in the stomach that he made him not want to fight anymore. He said, oh, you can come to my house for a barbecue. Like, that's the kind of person Silva is. Like, he'll let you talk trash.
Right.
But he also isn't the biggest jerk in the world.
Yeah.
Also,
the Diaz brothers rub you the wrong way.
Oh, man.
Well, we'll just say that. I'll let you continue your point. I apologize.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, that was my point. And then the Diaz brothers are crazy people. Like, that whole camp of, like, the Diazes, Melendez, like, those guys are just, they are what the sport doesn't need.
But when Melendez is the most sane guy out of a trio, think about that.
You got a problem. But yeah, like, they are what the MMA doesn't need. The UFC's issue is the Diaz brothers are too good at fighting.
Yeah.
Like,
you can't stop that.
It's like, you can't send those two to Bellator. You'll lose so much money. But yeah, and it's completely ridiculous that Silva's fighting after being popped for steroids, but I respect him for doing so. Maybe the Nevada State Athletic Commission shouldn't allow it, but you know what? We've been talking about money, and I think you get what I'm getting at that point.
Yep.
But Silva Cormier, I feel, is going to be a good fight if Silva can not be Silva in the first Weidman fight.
Yep. Now let's take a look at the path to why Silva's in this fight. So let's take a look. 2015, January 2015, UFC 182. Jones defended his middleweight or his light heavyweight title against Cormier via unanimous decision. Right after that victory, Jones is stripped of the belt and suspended indefinitely for connection to the hit and run he was involved in with the pregnant lady and with cocaine. May or may not be involved. Cormier replaced him and went on to defeat Anthony Johnson at UFC 187 to win the vacant title. Rematch was supposed to take place at 197, but Cormier pulled out 3 weeks before due to the injury and was replaced by St. Preux in what became an interim title bout. Jones won it by unanimous decision and won the interim belt. 3 days ago, Jones has been pulled out by the USADA, the United States Anti-Doping Association, due to a potential anti-doping violation stemming from an out-of-competition sample collection on June 16th. Cormier declared he would still fight if an opponent brought to him made sense. What that doesn't say is the footage that came out that day.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it, but I know we're going to.
I'm not going to talk about it heavily, but it's if you want to see kind of what goes into and the emotional level that goes into guys committing months at a time to prepare for things. I never wrestled. I've never fought. Despite my okay size, I've never been a fighting kind of person. It's not my personality. I don't know what it's like to commit that kind of time to an event like this and to have it pulled out from underneath. Cormier's been battling this concept that is he a real champion? Is he not? Of course, Bones Jones, due to his problems, being stripped of his championship, but is still an interim guy, and for a lot of people, see him as the light heavyweight champion. Still yet, despite his problems. Cormier comes in 3 days before he has a chance to prove them wrong. John Jones gets pulled for USADA, and after about, 5 months of training and multiple dollars, thousands of dollars, being on the line for his career, he's told, I'm sorry, there's no fight for you.
And his reaction to it, he even said, he was just like, I'll sign a release. I'll sign a release right now. We'll fight. It's like, it doesn't have to be for a belt. He just wanted to fight. And I don't blame him. The thing of it is that Cormier, like, he lost, like, well, isn't going to lose now because he's going to get his money regardless for fighting. Right. But also, like, you got to think about it. Without that fight, UFC, God, I don't know why that was hard to say. UFC doesn't have a reason to pay him nearly as much. That was the pay-per-view draw for that match.
That was the main event.
That was the main event. And to get it taken away from you, not because he got hurt in a fight camp or something like this, and the rematch is going to be 2 pay-per-views away and you can still make your money. He got suspended, stripped indefinitely. Because this is Jones, like, what, third offense on something?
This is currently what it is, and let me kind of just explain that.
Well, not like U.S. whatever, the anti-doping. It's not them. Like, this is his third time getting in trouble, if not more. Like, Dana White has to be done with you at some point.
Well, and that's part of the thing. It's a combination. I think it still rests a lot more on the USADA suspension for it, but we'll see how that goes. Currently, what it looks like, the day after that video, which is out there if you want to see a grown man
almost
visually upset,
yeah,
and tear up over this, understandably so. There's some language, just a heads up. A day after that came out, Jones apologized for the incident, but denied knowingly taking any illegal substance. He and his manager also denied to specify the substance that resulted in the failed test. Here's the thing. The B sample also came up positive for the same substances. So both samples they took popped the same substances. And it's because of that that Jones faces a potential 2-year suspension. And even if he isn't suspended for 2 years, I think Dana White keeps him off for 2 years. Because here's the thing. When Dana White comes out and exasperatedly says, "How many chances does this kid get?" You know you're done.
He's also called him a sports killer in a conference call before.
He has. You're not wrong.
Like,
that's the thing.
I get that he's probably the best fighter the UFC has. And I will say it, pound for pound, John Jones is the best fighter. But he's just a bad human being. Which I think is the issue, is because like John Jones, for the most part, whenever he was younger, and before he started really getting in trouble, he acted like he was a holier-than-thou guy. Like, he tried to act like he was a humble man, that he was a good person. And I'm not saying he's a bad person. Well, I'm saying he's a bad person. I'll make a stance. And I think I even said in our group chat, the one that we always talk about, is I think I called him a piece of garbage the second I saw it.
Yep.
I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, this is like the third, fourth time this guy's done something wrong. You know what? Just give Cormier, stop calling it the interim. He is the light heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Cormier, who was Strikeforce champion before it folded, lost to Jones, has been an amazing fighter for the UFC regardless. Does not play-by-play, he does the pre-shows.
Yeah.
He is what the face of the UFC should be, a well-spoken, amazing Olympic-caliber wrestler. But John Jones is the one that gets all the credit.
Yeah.
If he never steps foot in a UFC octagon, it'll be too soon.
Yeah. And that's actually, Aaron Picard hit me on Twitter while I was doing my previous show, the Saturday Morning Express, asking about that, was what I thought about Jones coming in. And I'll shoot you straight, Aaron, I'll shoot you straight, everybody. He does not need to be back in 2 years. I don't think he will be. I don't think Dana thinks it is worth the risk. John Jones just knew Jack murdered his career.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Aaron. That just got said out loud.
I can't wait for him to show up at Bellator.
Would Bellator touch him at this? Well, yeah, Bellator
yes,
touches anybody.
Would.
Never mind.
You're about to say. Did you watch their Ultimate Fighter?
I retract my statement. I am sorry. They are that desperate. They're not Strikeforce.
They brought up Joe Riggs.
Oh.
It was 2014.
May he rest well, but they brought in Kimbo Slice in 2016.
And Data 5000.
Data 5000.
Yeah. Well, John Jones, you won't make as much money, but you'll hold the shiny belt.
You'll hold a nice paperweight.
Yeah. It's ridiculous that this is even a thing. Like, he has been given so many chances, but yet he still has fans that just act like he is the best thing ever.
Yeah, he is a gift to this. It's not. So he's gone, thankfully. While I'm not as happy with the Anderson Silva plug-in, it's a fight that hopefully Cormier continues to gain respect for.
Oh, yeah, and it will be. He'll win that fight. Silva's not ready. I don't know. I don't think Silva's ready for a fight. He's definitely not been training as long as Cormier has. Plus, you're also, like, this animal instinct of fighting that it is. Who's going to say Daniel Cormier is just not going to see John Jones' face on Anderson Silva's body?
that's what Cormier has. He has this his mentality is, let's go.
He's going to push forward and do bad things to that old man.
Yeah, it is a 3-round non-title light heavyweight fight.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun to see.
Yeah, and I mean, good luck to both fighters. I'm happy that I can respect Silva more than I can respect Jones. So, I mean, let it be a good fight. Can we touch on the one that we want, that I want to?
I know. Before we do, let's again.
We'll go through the card.
Cain Velasquez, Travis Brown, your standard heavyweight fight.
I'm going to go with Velasquez.
I do too. Oh, we're making picks right now. I thought we were just going to go, well, yeah, we've got about 10 minutes left. Let's make picks because we're already at 49 minutes. Holy shnikes, how did that happen?
All right, I'm going to go Velasquez.
You want to start all the way at the beginning or do you want to go just main card?
We can do beginning really quick. We've already talked about it, so we'll just put
Miller Gomi. I got Gomi.
I'm gonna go Miller.
Okay. Masai Santos.
Masai
I have as well. Sanchez Lauzon. I'm going Sanchez.
I'll split it then Lauzon. We'll see what happens.
I mean, it's gonna be tough. That's gonna be a good fight. That one has potential of being, I don't know how they give it for fight of the night, but that prelim card, those guys could get some bonuses.
Yeah.
If fight goes how it can. Northcutt Marin. I don't know anything about Marin. I'm going Northcutt just because they need a new face in those lighter divisions, or at least another face, and I think Northcutt can do it.
Yeah, Northcutt.
Dillashaw, Asusau. This is one of the tough ones for me. I'm going to go Dillashaw.
I'm going to have to go Asusau.
I can't blame you. Just like I said, this is one of those. Now, Asusau won split decision the first time they met in 2013.
Yeah.
So, this isn't a throwaway fight. Hendricks Castellum. I want to see Castellum win just because Castellum, he's 24. He's been bounced between middleweight and welterweight. I hope for him to kind of land in this middleweight, I guess close to middleweight now, that's going to be a catchweight fight. But I want to see him rock Hendricks.
I'm going with Hendricks.
Hendricks has got the wrestling background. I get that. But I'm going to pull weight for Castellum.
And has just hands of stone.
He does.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah.
Zingano Pena.
Zingano.
Zingano's what I got too. I mean, I can't argue that. Zingano's where it's at. All right. Now for the main card. We raced through that pretty quickly. Velasquez Brown. I think we're both on the Velasquez camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jose Aldo versus Frankie Edgar for the interim featherweight belt.
I've picked BJ Penn two times and got burned by it. I'm going to go Frankie Edgar.
Are you going Frankie Edward? Edgar.
Yeah. I'm going to go Frankie Edgar.
Of course, you mentioned BJ Penn. We watched at the Gaming Ground 709 Broadway for all your gaming needs.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we watched some of the top 20 greatest knockouts.
I miss Crazy BJ Penn. He was awesome.
Before
he became
crazy
a
BJ
jerk.
Penn.
Yeah, he was crazy before he was a jerk.
There's Crazy BJ Penn, and then there's D-Bag BJ Penn, and that's what we're currently getting is D-Bag Penn. I'm going to go Aldo.
I mean, I think Aldo
is hungry. I mean, of course, I'm not saying that Edgar is not hungry at all. Aldo's hungry to get that McGregor rematch.
Yeah.
He wants it. He wants to prove it. He wants to shut him up just like Diaz wants to shut him up. Dos Santos, if he can ever make it in, I'm sure he wants to shut him up too. So
there's a lot of people who want to shut that mouth up.
Cormier Silva, I don't think I've held back any punches on the Cormier Silva match. I give it Cormier.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Which, by the way, in case you're not very familiar, we joke about Silva being an old guy. Silva's 41 years old. Cormier's 37.
Really?
Cormier's no spring chicken either. Yeah. He's an older guy.
I forget about that.
In the fight world, he's an older guy, I should say. Not necessarily like an ancient dude. So we got there.
I mean, can we do Tate Nunes and then we'll go to the big one?
No, because I want Tate Nunes to be the main one we cover.
All right, fair enough.
Lesnar, Mark Hunt, the Beast Incarnate, the Super Samoan. Two dudes that just look like they got faces made of brick.
Why was that not the tagline for WrestleMania 31?
This is why I'm a radio guy. I have this promotion. I paint beautiful word pictures. And by that, I mean I paint word pictures about ugly dudes. Yeah, come fight me, Mark Hunt and or Brock Lesnar. You don't have Twitter. You won't know this exists. I don't know if I have a thing I want to win. Can I pick Team Meteor? Like, if you're a college football fan, you normally support Team Meteor if your fan team isn't in it because you want everyone to die.
Yeah.
Let's pick Team Meteor. Team Meteor it is.
No, I have the one I'm going with.
Yeah, I know you. You got Hunt.
I got Hunt. So
I know you got Hunt.
This is such a... There's many reasons why I hate this fight. And have you gone over this in the sports show? I've missed the last few episodes.
Not as much. I did a little bit when it was announced.
I'll do some quick hits of why I hate this match, and then we can go on to the main one.
CM Punk can't skate part-timers.
Anyway, Dana White and Joe Rogan call wrestling fake at every avenue.
Yep.
Bring a wrestler into Pop 200. Lesnar, completely cured from diverticulitis when he fought over him, got destroyed by a kickboxer. Mark Hunt's a kickboxer.
A former K-1 fighter.
Yes. Lesnar, and I will say I think Lesnar deserves to be in the UFC Hall of Fame, but he got hot-shotted, which is a wrestling term for you sports fans that don't listen to PW. He got hot-shotted to the UFC heavyweight title in three fights.
Which means he was pushed there and didn't deserve it.
Yeah. Granted, the heavyweight division at UFC at that time really wasn't that stacked, aside from Frank Mir and a couple other fighters, not like it was whenever he lost the belt.
Yeah.
But take that with what you will. The one thing that I cannot stand about this fight is, and this is because I'm a wrestling fan, if anybody listens to PW, knew that I was a personality on there for quite a long time. This is nothing. This could either be the best thing for one promotion, but not the other. if Brock Lesnar destroys Mark Hunt, Joe Rogan and Dana White look like a bunch of idiots, which they do most of the time anyway.
Yeah, they don't help themselves very often.
If Mark Hunt beats Brock Lesnar, which will happen, whenever he destroys Brock Lesnar stops looking like a credible threat in the WWE. Because I don't care what you say, that it's one's predetermined and one's not. You can't say that Lesnar getting his face kicked in by Mark Hunt helps him out at all against Randy Orton in SummerSlam.
I'll explore where you guys can explore this avenue, or those guys can explore the avenue on PWU, Shannon, Asa on Wednesday. It'll be posted on Thursday for you guys. I think even if Lesnar loses, I think it benefits the WWE as well, because they're not stuck with a guy who's not supposed to be beatable. He's no longer the invincible final boss. He's now a guy that can be defeated. Now, unfortunately, on the other side of the coin, you don't have Mark Hunt walking around WWE. Let me give you the numbers. Mark Hunt is billed at 5'10", 260, which means the dude is just an inch shorter than me and 40 pounds less than I am. God, I need to get to the gym. Anyway, those guys aren't walking around very often in the WWE, but it makes him a bit beatable. He's not the inconquerable beast, so I think, or unconquerable beast, excuse me. So there's something to be said for a loss maybe helping the WWE anyway, but I'll leave that to the PWG.
Yeah, but it's like we could dig into it very easily, but we don't have that kind of time.
No.
But, I mean, who do you have?
I think it's Lesnar. I really do. I'm not going to be surprised in any stretch of imagination if Hunt just rocks the dude 20 seconds in. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying I think Lesnar can take him down and work the ground game.
Yeah, but I say if Lesnar doesn't get cocky, which he has issues or had issues with against Overeem, if Mark Hunt has been working on takedown defense,
Mark Hunt's got it.
Lesnar's done.
Yeah.
If this match goes to throwing hands, Lesnar hits like a truck, but unfortunately, Hunt is a convoy.
I was about to say, he hits a lot harder than a truck.
Like, and that's one of those things. I think Hunt's going to have it.
Lesnar's an F-250. Hunt's a dump truck.
Yeah, like, I don't see Lesnar having a chance. Because even if Lesnar takes it to the ground, how much MMA has Lesnar been training in the last 5 years?
Not a lot of
How time. Much has Mark Hunt been training in the last 5 years?
Yep.
Like, it's one of those things there's no feasible way that Lesnar's going to win this fight to me.
It's going to be tough.
If Lesnar, they're fighting with 2 ounce gloves, that's going to be the only way he gets them.
Yeah.
I think if he clips him, I don't think he's going to be able to out-technique him. But, I mean, that's that fight. I'm going with Hunt.
There you go. And now, two young guns, quote-unquote, the women's bantamweight championship. Miesha Tate versus Amanda Nunes. This is going to be, again, this is the fight I am excited about. Tate, 29 years old. Cupcake is ready to go. 18-5 in her career. She is the current champion. You have Amanda Nunes on the other side. Young lady's 28 years old, 5'8", 135. 16 fights. She is 12-4 in her career. I'd argue against Cupcake, but I don't know if I can argue against Cupcake.
Well, I mean, are you on the UFC.com right now?
I am not, but you are, all right. So go ahead and hit us.
Miesha Tate, 18-5-0. Amanda Nunes, 12-4-0. Miesha Tate, slight more experience, more wins, one more loss. But, I mean, that happens when you fight.
Nunes has a 4-inch reach advantage.
4-inch? I'm looking at a 2-inch.
2-inch. Did I do math wrong?
I got 68 and 66. Okay. That's Amanda Nunes.
That's Wikipedia has 69, 65, so I'll stick with UFC.
Yeah. Significant strikes landed. Nunes, 3.67 per minute. That's Nunes. Tate, 1.99. Now, again, you got to take in consideration that Tate's been in more fights. Also, Tate's a little bit more ground-based.
Yeah, and Tate's had to fight people that are ground-based.
Yes. And just looking at, like, accuracy, 8% or 50% for Amanda, 42% for Miesha. The absorb per minute and defense is pretty close. Grappling is almost, I mean, Nunes a little bit more, but you also got to consider she's been in more fights. So I'm going to go with Tate as well. It's just, it's going to be one of those fights that it's going to be really interesting to see exactly what happens. But, yeah. I mean, that's me looking at the stats of that match.
Yeah. That's where it's at. I just, outside the numbers or anything, I think Tate is hungry to be the face of the women's game. She knows that Cyborg's coming in. She knows that Van Zandt has done Dancing with the Stars and did very well. Yes, I have a girlfriend. I watch Dancing with the Stars. It happens. Van Zandt was actually quite entertaining in that. She knows that there are other people who have been getting the attention over the last couple years. She got the belt back from home, and now she wants to prove she is here to stay. I give it to Tate.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be hard to go against it. She is a current and former champion. She was a star in women's MMA before Rousey was even an amateur.
Yeah.
It's one of those things you just can't it's that experience level that I was just talking about in the Hunt Lesnar fight that you can't teach it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Tate. I think Tate's going
to
win it.
Although I will say, if Nunes finds a way to win this, my goodness, this women's bantamweight division continues to be entertaining.
It's the 2007 to 2009 light heavyweight championship belts before Jones got involved.
Pass it around, baby. Someone's going to get a turn at some point.
We're eventually going to start playing rock, paper, scissors, Spock with the belt, where it's just like, oh, we got to fit we in now. And here's the rest of them.
You know, no, that's a situation where I know it would never happen because this isn't the way UFC works.
A triple threat match?
No. No, wasn't going full wrestling tournament.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, that
would
saying.
Never happen.
It will never happen. But you give me an 8-woman tournament for that bantamweight title if somehow Nunes wins tonight, my God, go.
Please.
I would watch every bit of that business.
I would too. That'd be interesting.
That would be amazing. But we have hit our hour mark. We talked about a lot of cash, money, yo-yo. We've talked about a lot of UFC fighting. It's been a lot of fun. Dalton, thank you for bringing your UFC and MMA experience. And by experience, I mean knowledge. You have no experience. It's okay.
No.
Thank you for coming in. Glad to have you on the show as always.
Thank you for being.
It's been fun, guys. This is Cody Sandusky. Before we go, of course, we'll let you know the multitude of ways you can follow and find us on the internet. Podzilla1985.com. You can tune into all the podcasts again. A week vacation just around the 4th of July for all of us to kind of recuperate and recharge for the second half of the year. The Tanner Thursday show on Thursday. Very powerful discussion about the multiple shootings in the last week and what, if anything, we can do about that. Definitely check it out. Of course, Nerd Up on Sunday. Pokemon Go is out. They're going to hit that hard with a lot of other things, I'm sure, and the regular schedule will continue next week. I may or may not be here next week, actually taking a trip, so we will see how recording goes, if I can get it done, because we leave Thursday. If not, I promise we will be back in 2 weeks for your regularly scheduled PZ85 Sports programming. Remember, Patreon.com, search Podzilla1985. You can back us, allow us to bring you this content with maybe some better equipment, some more support. We love it. We appreciate you guys that already do that. Redbubble.com, search Podzilla1985. The apparel is there, the notebooks, the fun stuff. Lindsay does a great job with the art. Pick up some of the swag and help us out as well. Twitter.com, at Cody Sandusky. Dalton, your handle's complicated, isn't
it? I think
it?
It's at Dalton. Don't worry about my Twitter.
Yeah,
don't worry
Twitter's about my Twitter. Fine. At Cody Sandusky. Remember to follow at Cody Sandusky. A lot of us, you can go to the Podzilla1985.com cast and crew page and find the Twitter handles for everybody else. Facebook.com. Search Podzilla1985, like the page and follow it for the updates from us and questions about what you want to have content-wise. We ask a lot of questions for people to pitch in about in terms of shows. It's always fun to have that feedback. Facebook.com, search Cody Sandusky Sports all together. That page is developing. I'm working on that. Check it out. Follow it. You can catch the episodes as they're posted. Comments I have on sports news, and that's going to continue growing as we move in the future months. So follow in for that. Until next time, I'm Cody Sandusky saying thank you for listening to Podzilla 1985 Sports. We'll see you soon. Stay safe, stay dry. Don't take too many punches to the face. It kind of hurts.